Caerbont was built in the early 1800s as a row of weavers' cottages around the same time as the wool factory was built just below it. It was a development similar to others cropping up in the villages all over the area at that time, and signalled the beginning and subsequent growth of Esgygailiog as a village community proper, rather than just a collection of scattered farms and cottages. In 1840, one such weaver, David Roberts, was living there with his wife, Lowrie. In the early 1850s, David Edwards, a carpenter, lived there with his wife, Eleanor, and daughter, Mary. Could this be the same David and Eleanor Edwards who were later living in Brindilas in the 1880s? By the 1870s, the woolen industry was in decline. Slate mining was taking over in the village, and a few years later, Slate's labourer John Owen moved in with his wife Margaret and children Lewis and Margaret. Interestingly, at the end of the century, another Slate labourer, Richard and Anne Edwards, and their children Anne, Richard and Elizabeth were living there. Could this Richard be the son of David Edwards, the joiner from Brindilas and earlier of Caerbont? Julia Gunn's great-grandfather, Hugh Edwards, was a farm worker with five daughters just before the First World War. When his wife Alice died in childbirth with their sixth child, a son, Hugh was unable to raise his six small children alone and go out to work. So, as often happened then, the children were split up and taken in by various people in the family. This was better than the only other alternative, the workhouse. Hugh came to live alone in No. 2 Caerbont. Two of Hugh's daughters, Margaret and Annie, were taken in by Hugh's sister Margaret and her husband Owen Owen at Havotti Pamperthog. On the corner by the bridge in Pamperthog, before the road was widened and improved, there lay for many years a big round stone. It was said that the only man in the district who could lift that stone was Owen Owen. He was a big, very strongly built man. One day, while riding his horse towards Corris, the horse stumbled on the corner by Maes Poeth. Owen fell off and was badly injured. He never fully recovered and died not very long afterwards. His wife subsequently moved to Three Caerbont, where she lived next door to her brother for the rest of her life. Like many brothers and sisters, they did not always see eye to eye on everything, and when they quarrelled, they would often not speak to each other for some time. During these silent periods, it was noted that if one was on the doorstep and the other came out, then the first one would always go back in. As the two front doors were right next to each other, they were humorously likened to one of those little mantelpiece barometers with a man and a woman who moved in or out of the doorway according to the weather, like Sean a Sian. Louis T. Morris has lived in Esgygailiog for most of the 8 decades of his life. For much of that time he has lived with his wife Megan in Numbers 1 and 2 Caerbont, with their two sons Hugh and John in 1959. Over the years they have been there, Louis has done a great deal of work on his house, converting the two into one, fitting the modern conveniences, and in recent years the new front porch, all however without detracting from the original style and character of the house. During the Second World War, Louis served in the army from 1943 to 1946, including time in the Far East. Louis earned the Burma Star, the Defence Medal and the Loyal Service Medal. When Louis left school, he found work at Llwyn Gwern Farm. While there in 1937, there was a bad gale and snowstorm, and it blew down a large tree onto the old road opposite Forest Lodge. The trunk was taken to a sawmill in Machynlleth near the county school and sawn into planks. Louis managed to acquire one of the planks and later used it to make the fine grandmother clock. After the war, Louis returned home and adapted back to a normal working life. For some years, he was a driver for the Crossville Bus Company. Many of today's parents and even grandparents can remember him driving them to school. He also worked at Meirion Mill in Dinas Mawddwy and before retiring at Station Garage in Machynlleth. One thing he is well known for, though, is beekeeping, and Louis' bees have kept the flowers and vegetables pollinated in Esgygoeliog for many years. Megan has also led a very busy and active life, especially as a member of the Women's Institute. In nearly all the group photographs we have seen of the WI, Megan has been in them. She also takes a keen interest in local events and always kept a scrapbook of news cuttings of things happening around the village. Even now, Megan is still the local contact for a Welsh newspaper called the Blewyn Glas. In number 4 Cae Bont lived Mr. and Mrs. William Jones, and used number 5 for storage to keep bicycles in. Her son, Gwilym Jones, who lived in number 5 in the 1970s and 80s. Gwilym was a plasterer for the builder John Evans and Sons, Kemmes Road. Dick Jones, Gwilym's brother, grew up in 4 and 5 and was a clerk in Aberlleveni Quarry's office in Machynlleth. Liz Jones, the post, was married to another brother, Thomas John. She used to work in Pineview when it was a shop and post office, and later ran the post office herself from 3 Cae Bont until the 1970s. In the early 20th century, Gwynfa was a shop, and bread deliveries from Mr. Lewis's bakery in Machynlleth would have been a regular sight. Later on, when Gwynfa returned to a private residence, it was occupied by Gwilym and Fenna Jones. Gwilym was one of the sons of John and Mary Ann Jones of Kynws Bach and worked for the Forestry Commission. He was often to be seen at one time driving the Forest District officer, Mr. Butters, between appointments. In his spare time, Gwilym was active in the local community, serving on the Parish Council and the Village Hall Committee. Fenna was also very actively involved in the village, a keen member of the Women's Institute for many years, and still a local reporter for the Welsh newspaper The Blewyn Glas. Gwilym and Fenna have one son, Gareth, who, like his grandfather John before him, also works for Royal Mail. In the years before the Second World War and before the council estate was built, the old part of the village was quite densely populated. Isa Coed, then known as Acre Cottages, was not one house as now, but 5. 4 along the front and 1 around the back. There was also a very small cottage, now gone, attached to the end of the row nearest the chapel. At the other end, opposite Gwynfa, there was a small building, also now gone, that housed a communal bakery oven and a wash boiler, known as Tea Furn. When there was no piped water in a village, it was important to have clear access to the river by the shortest route to enable water to be carried home for domestic chores, cleaning, washing, etc. The communal bakery and washhouse meant important economies could be made in the use of fuel for the oven and boiler. After the bread was baked, any remaining heat in the oven might be used to cook a piece of meat for someone, or a cake even. Any washing, rinsing, etc., for which hot water was not essential, was often done directly in the river. In such a community, neighbourliness was essential rather than optional. 160 years ago, in the 1840s, Roland Jones, a miller, his wife Elizabeth and their 8 children, Joseph, Thomas, Roland, Edward, David, Matilda, Elizabeth and Susan, lived in Acre Cottages. At the same time, in the same row, were Owen and Gaynor Hughes and their 5 children, Louisa, Margaret, Richard, Catherine and John. Owen and Margaret Pritchard with son Richard Edward and Mary Edwards and daughter Catherine. Weaver, Roderick and Anne Lumley. Hugh and Jane Lumley with children Richard and Mary. David Humphreys with son David, daughter-in-law Elizabeth and grandson Edward. 33 adults and children. In the early to mid-20th century, Mr. Lloyd the postman lived in one of the middle houses in Acre Cottages. He was well known locally as a bit of a character, with a sharp wit and a thorough knowledge of all the local people. He wrote a poem about the village and its people, and at the time it was considered somewhat controversial, especially the full version. Ar lan yr afon Dilas, y saf y pentre bach, mae'n bentre gog yn hyfrys, ond yn bentre hynod iach. Mae yma ddau y ddoldi, a siop yn gwerthu te, a mochyn gan John Panto a phopeth yn ei le. Mae Mr Lloyd y postman, yr hwn sydd berson stout, gwaith hwn yw plannu cabbage a chodi Brussels sprouts. Mae Mrs Cottrell yma yn dwrdio plant y lle, yn tynnu priciau gwrych a fro i ferwi o'i thecell te. Ac Oswald Edwards hefyd, yr hwn sydd ei lais mor ber, a'i draed yn rhodio'r palmant a'i ben yn rhaith y ser. Mae yma Irish Beauty, high hips a gwyneb tlws, dwy lygad fel dy llian a'i ffwys ar glic y drws. Mae Isaac Morgan hefyd, bob dydd a'i fysedd cain, yn methu rhoi ei fotobaic i fyned yn ei flaen. Mae'r corn yn deffro'r cread, a marin cadw sŵn. Mae yma leof nadwy cyd rhwng y corn a'r cŵn. Mae Mrs Jones ta Isaac yn ddynes un o gant. Gwaith hon yw pobi bara a magu tu o blant. Rhai peidio anghofio'r poachers yn dal wrth olau'r lloer a mynd â nhw i goris am baint o gwrw oer. Pob bendith i'r hen bentref y ffawb oedd yno'n byw, mae'n teddiw'n gorffwys yn dawel gyda Dyw. Poem written by Mr Lloyd the Post, given by Gwynfo Jones. At the near end is the front of T. Furn, the bakehouse, which came right out to the road. And then the front porch of the old Apeglesir school, which opened in 1850 in the end house of the terrace. Behind the porch is the tiny cottage which was attached to the front corner of the terrace. There was then only a narrow footpath down to Teesar and the river, not a road as now. Also, the terrace roof used to be on two levels, being lower over the nearer two. It was raised to a uniform level by Ivan Jones, a stonemason from Penrhyw Forge.